Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and I am going to be joined by Matt Moore of the Action Network again for part two of our conversation. In yesterday's show, we spent a lot of time talking about some of the questions that we have for this roster and some of the questions he has and how little we really know about this team. There's a lot that we want to know, and there's a lot of answers that we would like to find out. But as of right now, there's just so many questions about this team because of the way that they're put together that it's really hard to come across those types of answers. So today, though, in today's show, we're going to get to some of why we think things might turn out the way that we think they're going to turn out, starting with a point that it's not really tangible, but it's a point that I think needs to be pointed out, and it comes from the experience of being a Laker fan for all these years. So that's where it's going to start, and then it's going to carry on from there. Enjoy this. Thanks for listening to this two-part podcast episode or whatever it is that we've put together over the last couple days. If you missed part one, it's on Silver Screen and Roll. It's on all of the podcast platforms that you might want. I'll tweet out both parts once they both go live from my personal account, and then obviously it'll get retweeted from at Locked On Lakers. So thanks for tuning in. Thank you to Matt. Let's get to this conversation. Like, my thing is, if I had to figure out a way And to convince people that I think this team is good beyond, hey, there's LeBron over there, I think it really just kind of comes down to the Lakers tend to figure stuff out. Like, and I know how much you're going to hate this take, because it's very Lakers exceptionalist, but if it's a glaring hole that the Lakers desperately need another big, well, they have that roster spot there, and they can fill that need relatively quickly if they absolutely have to. And I have confidence that the Lakers as an organization, like, they don't just squander these kinds of opportunities when they have great players on their roster. Now, that was under different ownership, and it was under different basketball operations teams, but for the most part, like, the reason why, as you talked about in the beginning of the thing, that, you know, it feels more important when you're talking about the Lakers is because of the success that they've had in these kinds of situations.
Yes. Two notes. One, when was the last time that they had a team this talented?
That would have been the Dwight Mare.
Now this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So now there was nothing to be done there. Like, they had no roster. Like, they were cap strapped. They had guys that were old. They had injuries. Like, they had no options there.
Dwight was never Dwight on that team.
Right. I would actually agree with you, and I've actually been on this, thinking about this a lot for the last about 36 hours, as I'm trying to get to the best version of my win totals I can possibly put out before Tuesday's games. Mm-hmm. One thing that we make the mistake of, so the Thunder, for example, people are like, look, Westbrook's not even back. Like, he's, you know, he had that surgery, and we don't know what he's going to look like, and that's his third surgery, and he's going to be out. Like, Robertson has a setback. We don't know when he's going to be back. Mm-hmm. The problem is people are looking at what the Thunder are going to be in November, and the Thunder may not be great in November. Like, they have a lot of talent. I haven't looked at their schedule. They might be able to get through it. It wouldn't surprise me if the Thunder were still healthily above 500 at the end of November, but they might struggle. That's possible. Mm-hmm. The difference is, what do they look like in March? Had Robertson not gotten hurt last year, the Thunder probably would have been one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs, would have been no question the third seed, would not have faced Utah, would have gotten an easier draw.
I would have felt okay about them going against Golden State. I really like that team.
Yeah. Like, them versus a Golden State that was tired and miserable and everyone was sniping at each other. Like, after they had beaten them twice, like, they would have gotten up for that, and I still would have taken the Warriors. But everything changes if Robertson doesn't get hurt. My point, though, is that it's not like NBA teams, people really do lose sight of this. It's a 6-month season. Yeah. It's 6 months. Like, it's so long, and teams will basically go through three different iterations of themselves throughout that time. You know, Boston was this unbelievable story, riding the emotion of Hayward's injury for the first month and a half. And then they were, all right, we're like the front runners and the dominant team. And that was until about mid-January. And then they really slid, and they really turned into kind of a wreck because they couldn't score at all, even with Kyrie. And then Kyrie gets hurt, and they kind of use that bump, and they push to the end. They lose number one seed, but they really find this identity behind Tatum and just figuring stuff out, and they just kind of scrapped along. Like, they were three different teams last year, and most squads are going to do that. And that's before you factor in even, like, roster changes. The Cavs were, like, seven. There were, like, seven different teams last year. So the Lakers are probably going to be very, very much the same way, where they're going to evolve from month to month, and there's going to be additions. Look, and tomorrow we can wake up and they've traded Kyle Kuzma and whatever for Jimmy Butler, and now all of a sudden everything is different. It doesn't seem likely, but that's potential. I think that there's they're going to be, you know, we all know this, like, they're playing for 2019 summer to really start adding talent to LeBron. This year is for figuring out who's going to be a part of that core. But yeah, you're right. And centers are and trust me, like, centers are the one thing you can go out and get. Like, you can go out and get a center. That ain't a problem.
I'd be a lot more worried if they were saying to themselves, we have to go out and get a shooter. Like, that's right. Not how it works.
Right. So that's one reason I think it could be wildly different. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say that the Lakers will probably address their concerns, and they have the flexibility to do so. It will mean, though, my only thing when we take that approach is Lakers fans are going to have to kind of make a decision on what they're going to say. Like, either no, Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, Kuzma, like, those guys are untouchable. They're awesome. Like, they're going to be stars. Or, like, well, no, some of those guys are probably going to wind up being trade bait. Like, you have to choose. You don't get both. Like, teams are not going to be like, oh, no, I'll give you this really valuable veteran player that's going to make you better if you give me Lance Stephenson. That's not happening. That's
not going to be. It's Lance Stephenson's expiring contract, Matt. It's not just Lance Stephenson.
Right, exactly. So, you know, and look, maybe a GM will be dumb enough to do so. Maybe this will look dumb in a couple of months because GMs will always shock me with some of the decisions that they make. But I do think you have to kind of decide on which is it. Is it, you know, the guy? And I think we're saying it's been the – I want to get your perspective. Where are you at on Kuzma? Because there's been a lot of – I've seen Lakers fans being like, well, I don't know. He hasn't looked the same. Like, the pop for Kuzma is not – after everyone really was talking about how he was – like, legend status, it's been kind of weird seeing everybody kind of like Josh Hart, I think, is way higher in the hype machine than Kuzma is right now. Is that right?
I'll give my thoughts on Kyle Kuzma, and we'll continue this conversation here in a brief second. Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Look, any type of sporting event that you might be attending to is more fun when you have something on the line with it, whether it's fantasy sports, bets among friends, beer bets, anything. If you're at a casino and you can bet against the house, if you're online and you want to make a bet online, I'm going to send you over to mybookie.ag. They have a promo going on right now where if you enter the Locked On promo code, you get 100% of your first deposit up to $1,000. That's right, 100% of your first deposit up to $1,000. And the big thing with MyBookie is they make it really easy to take out your winnings when you win. And really, what's the point of doing any of this if you can't get your winnings on those successful bets? So go to mybookie.ag, Google MyBookie, it's MYBOOKIE, enter the promo code Locked On, and go out and play. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Yeah, I would probably say so, though I think it's because Lakers fans watched Hart win Summer League MVP in a league he probably should or definitely should not have been playing in. So I think that was a big factor in it. The thing with Kuzma is I don't think the Lakers haven't done very well by him in terms of putting him in situations where he can succeed. He's played a ton with Michael Beasley and Lance Stephenson. Like, nobody's going to be good in that spot. And he was doing that for the bulk of the preseason before Lonzo came back. And so he was out there with those two guys, maybe like Alex Caruso and I don't know, Hart or KCP. Like, that's not the kind of lineup that he's going to succeed in. And then the other thing too is that he was doing that while he was trying to figure out how to play small ball five, and the two games that he was playing small, like to start the preseason, that he was playing small ball five was against probably the worst team that he could go against in the Denver Nuggets, where they have Jokic, who is just really good at picking apart teams that go small against him. Plumlee had like two career preseason nights against the Lakers, and then Paul Millsap is just a badass, so like he just couldn't move, Kuzma couldn't move him, so that was a tough matchup for him too. And then he also said something, it was interesting, the reason I have all that off the top of my head right now is because I wrote about it today. He said that he hadn't played much basketball like in the months leading up to, like, since April. And it would, that kind of struck me as interesting, because all I heard all offseason was how much he worked at his game and did all these things. And maybe it was just individual work and he wasn't out there actually playing. And, you know, maybe that was what was going on there. But that kind of, that raised an eyebrow from me. But my thing with Kuzma is he's so talented offensively that he has to be given a clear role out there, because like his brain starts to, because he can make all kinds of weird shots, he wants to take all those weird shots, and it actually hurts him out there. So like the more that the Lakers put him out there with a bunch of creators and they just tell him, all right, you have two dribbles max, I think that's how he'll best figure it out, and the sooner he gets to that spot, the better for everybody involved.
My other thing with them, I think, is the pace question, I think, is really interesting. And they've worked on it. Obviously, that's been like a priority. Like LeBron was running at a 120.72 pace in the preseason, which everybody was running hot. But like that's absurd. It'll be interesting to see. But here's a really interesting question. The Warriors play great defense and play fast. Luke obviously coached for Steve Kerr with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. However, playing fast and playing great defense is really hard. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. LeBron James, the last two seasons, has played the worst defense I have seen him play in his entire career.
And
I have
slow.
And played slow. If they are playing at this pace, there's an argument to be made that the energy level will get him amped up, and I'm receptive to that. But I do have some concern about what's going to happen if, because like this is a lot of it is, Lakers fans probably don't realize this because they just know LeBron is like this defensive monster. Basically what the Cavs did, and this is not the Cavs, that's wrong. Let me restate that. Basically what LeBron did to the Cavs, because this was all his decision, LeBron would take the weakest wing off-ball shooter. So if they played Boston, he took Jay Crowder. If he was playing Denver, he typically, unless it was on a switch, he typically took like Will Barton, right? Mm-hmm. So like whoever like wasn't the biggest threat on the perimeter. And what he would do is he would freelance and go attack the ball when he wanted to, and he would believe like, oh, I can get back to recover. Only he either couldn't or wouldn't. And oftentimes he was so far out of position, there was no way for him to recover. And guys were getting backdoor and corner. Like LeBron wasn't just giving up shots. He was giving up the most efficient shots you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So he was giving up like uncontested baseline cuts for scores and open corner threes. Like the shots that you're just like, you can't give those up. That's what LeBron was giving up most of the time. And it was a frightening amount of it. Like it was shocking to me how bad, honestly, it was so bad that despite the fact that LeBron is obviously and infinitely, like there is no question about the comparison between James Harden and LeBron defensively. I can't really tell you who had a better defensive season last year. I honestly cannot. And Harden had a really bad one. So like, that's how bad LeBron was. Playing in an up-tempo system like this, I appreciate that they're trying to push the pace. It's probably smart. I just have some concern that, like, what's going to happen if the LeBron from the last two seasons shows up in LA, and I don't know how to really compensate for that. If you want to go with, well, they have better coaching, okay. I'm not necessarily completely sold that Lou was really the problem. But like that's really, I guess, the argument is that, and that's a lot of it, is there's an assumption that LeBron will try more. And I don't know whether I believe that or not. Not to say that he'll try less. I just don't know if he'll try more at age 34.
Can I say that the Lakers have better defenders around him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think that that's the way that you quell some of that concern, is that, like, J.R. Smith is now Josh Hart. And I think Josh Hart is a better defender, and like Jeff Green is now Brandon Ingram. And I think Brandon Ingram is going to be a better defender than Green was over that time. And then Lonzo is a better defender than Kyrie or George Hill or whoever was there in that spot before. So I think that's a little bit, that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. My thing with LeBron is actually more of like, how long is it going to take for him to realize and be convinced that when he's out there with Kuzma can't be guarding fives? Like that's what they were doing all preseason, and poor Kuzma, like I think that was a big deal, big reason why like Kuzma wasn't finishing nearly as well as he did last season. And I really think it had a lot to do with the fact that he just didn't have legs out there from trying to muscle up people. And I think LeBron is going to have to realize that in higher leverage moments, like that's where he's going to have to kind of suck it up and be willing to play down there and actually use his incredible physique. That to me is the biggest question, though, is will he be willing to do that? Because I wouldn't blame him if he said, like, wait, you guys want me to do all this offensively and then now also do this defensively? Like, that's a lot to ask of a guy. So let's do this. We're going to take a quick second here, and we're going to come back and get to the rest of this conversation. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Mazuma. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma USA. You guys know how much I love Mazuma, and it's for a good reason. They have been incredible with getting me all set up with bookkeeping. They have a great day. I've been working with Carly, and she's been incredible from step one to where we are right now. I'm starting to learn more about the financial stuff and get more organized on all this. And that learning process has been a lot of fun to take part in. So I want to pass that experience on to you guys. And starting at only $75 a month, they have, like I said, licensed CPAs, bookkeepers, accountants, all here in the U.S. They have staff on hand. Whenever you have a question, send them an email, send them a chat, send them a text, give them a call. The communication level has been incredible. So call 213-947-6926. Again, that's 213-947-6926 to set up a free consultation. Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. One more quick second, and we'll come back and tie a bow on this entire two-part podcast with Matt Moore.
Yeah, so there's all these questions, and it's just like we're, you know, the early schedule is obviously difficult.
Yep.
That's another thing to really consider is I was shocked that they got the schedule that they did. When I looked at the back-to-backs and the rest advantages and all that stuff, I was stunned. Yeah, I thought for sure that – I thought they would get a cake schedule in October and November, a cake schedule to end the season, and then like a really difficult – February and March is what I thought. And instead, like, you know, Portland on the road is your opener. Like playing a home team on their opener is really tough. It's a historic rival. You know, the Rockets, the Spurs, obviously that's now a much easier game. They face the Nuggets, who are going to be, I think, you know, those two games showed you, like, I was kind of surprised at how good Denver looked in those games. I really thought the Lakers would probably, the Nuggets would be the ones that were like, wow, we got a long ways to go in preseason. I was a little bit surprised at how competent Denver looked in kind of handling the Lakers in those games. You know, the Wolves are obviously now a much easier game. So some of this is like things have broken their way, right? Yeah. Like the Spurs and the Wolves are now much, much worse. And they play the Spurs and the Wolves three times combined before November 1st gets here. So that's helpful. But the schedule overall is really difficult and really tiresome. And all of this stuff is going to factor in. And I think if you're listening to this, it's probably like, oh, here's all the reasons why the Nuggets or why the Lakers may not be good. But I do think that my biggest thing I'm trying to convey here is just like, I don't know, because when
there are so many unknowns.
Well, and whenever anybody comes to me with the argument of why they're going to miss the playoffs or why they're going to be not that good or why they're going to be like an 8 seed, I just keep getting back to, I understand it was in the East. I do respect the conference differential. But man, LeBron James has won 50 games in every season since 2006, except once. Like, it's just an immutable law of nature. Like, that's the thing is, and everybody really does act like, well, no, he's in the West now. And I don't, there's parts of me that see that, because I really do think one of the reasons that LeBron made all those finals in a row is just really that the East found incredible ways to blow opportunities.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Like, nobody ever really stepped up and was like, no, like, we're ready. we're going to beat you. Like the Pacers in 2013 was the closest I think anybody ever came to really putting them on the ropes and made them earn it. Nobody, especially in Cleveland, nobody pushed them. Like nobody was ready to push them. Nobody was able to find it within themselves to push them. I think in the West, you're going to find like there's a bunch of teams that are ready to do that. Like there's a bunch of teams that are playoff tested that are ready to do so. And that's going to be a lot harder. But, you know, if they get to the fourth seed, that's all that really matters. Like it's still like that's a good season in and of itself. So it's going to be really fascinating. This is going to be a really interesting season. I just don't know. I guess part of me is like I'm not sure if Lakers fans are prepared for how unstable it might be, because this might be a year where they have really high highs and really low lows. I could see that happening too.
We've seen that play out in games so far. Like when the Lakers have looked good, you do all the oh my god, Showtime is back stuff. But then when they don't look so good, or when especially before Lonzo came back, it was like oh my god, Lonzo, please come back as soon as you possibly can. And I think that was kind of a microcosm of how the season might go. So we'll see. I guess there's so much unknown, and I really think that's part of why this season is so exciting for Laker fans, is that there's so much unknown, and with unknown comes promise. But then, you know, and because of like what we talked about earlier with how bad things were before, that trepidation gets overlooked because, well, it's going to be better than the last 5 years. Low bar, albeit, but that's kind of where people are, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that my experience is different from yours. I get a lot of like, no, like y'all are gonna be sorry. You're gonna see they're ready to compete, and I think your absence from the title picture may have gotten it to where people don't remember how tough it is to be at that level. Mm-hmm. Like you got to be real good, and forget the Warriors. Like it just, you know, getting to a Western Conference Finals, like being better than Utah, OKC, Denver. Yeah, you know, those teams, and probably like New Orleans, like the teams that are going to be really, really good this year. That's a lot of work. That's a lot to ask for young dudes. That's a lot to ask for veterans on their plan for their contracts. Like, there's a lot of stuff here. I think the bar is really high. But again, if everything does go right, because that I've thought about that too, is like, what if everything just went wrong for Cleveland? Like they should have been better defensively. Like they should have been better defensively, and they just weren't. So like, what if the Lakers are better? Like what if they're just better in a lot of ways? Because you mentioned kind of the exceptionalism thing. Things do also kind of work out for them. So I can see that happening too. Like there's this wide range of outcomes where things really do kind of shake out. To me, the biggest question, and the most interesting one, and it's one I still do not have an answer for, based off of the reporting that's been done from people that know him, like Windhorst and McMenamin and Lloyd and all these guys, there is not a sense of where is LeBron at with his approach to this season. And that's going to determine so much. What level of investment he has is going to determine a lot, because it gets harder to get yourself invested at the level he has to in order to carry this team year after year after year, knowing what he's facing with this conference, with this division, and with this team. So it's going to be really fascinating to see. LeBron's career has been an absolutely just incredible arc of stories and narratives and complicated discussion points. And this is going to be another one, I think, that provides a lot of conversation for how great he is and how difficult it is in the era in which he played.
Yeah, completely. So I guess what you're saying is he needs to showcase his Mamba mentality, right? That's what.
Man, if I will say this, like his reaction to that random ass reporter,
yeah,
that was talking, like,
yep.
if they start losing and they start struggling.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's going to be loud.
It's going to be loud. Like this, and this, it's one of the reasons I never thought he would go there. I will tell you that. I never thought he would go to the Lakers, because I always thought, like, why would you want to play under that shadow? Because even if, and I think what I miscalculated, and his answers have kind of revealed this, is he doesn't feel like there's a shadow. Like, the shadow was incomprehensible to him, where he's like, yeah, Kobe was great. I mean, I'm the second best player or best player of all time. So, you know, as good as Kobe was, it's not like this is a problem for me. And I don't think that with that section of fans, it's the same. Like, there is definitely a, you have to live up to Kobe. And LeBron hasn't had to live up to anybody but his own expectations since he won the title in 2012. It's been 6 years since anybody has had, like, a, you need to live up to this standard. So, I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting to see how he responds. And the thing is, it's because it's L.A., and, like, that reporter kind of gives you an indication of what's going to happen. Like, there are enough dudes that will get access to him at various points, whether it's at All-Star or wherever, that will know that they can get a, make a name for themselves and get traffic for their site and their Twitter handle if they ask him those type of questions. And there will be a very self, like, that that industry doesn't, that cottage industry does not exist in Cleveland, but it definitely exists in LA.
Yeah,
and that's gonna be an interesting dynamic.
Fortunately, like, I never found out that the female reporter, I don't think I ever saw, because nobody really came forth, and I thought it was good that nobody did. Nobody needs to throw her under the bus for that. But well, I mean, it's definitely going to be a thing, especially All-Star Weekend, where there's like the larger the media presence, the obviously, I mean, that's just how math works. But the higher the likelihood, and the dumber the questions might get. That'll be interesting to watch. I might actually make that a game. Like,
yeah.
That's
what you should do. You honestly, for something, because, you know, content, for SSR, you should really start a ranking, like a board of the of like the dumbest things LeBron's been asked this season.
Yeah, no, I think I might do that. I might just, yeah, that'll be a running thing, at least on the show. We'll see. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for hopping on with me and talking Lakers stuff. It's kind of tough because we're signing off and we're both still kind of like, I don't know.
But shrug emoji. Yeah. It's like, and I tell you, that's one of the most annoying things, right? Is like, I can give you really strong analysis, and like, even if I'm like, well, look, I could be wrong on all these things, because part of the reason I wrote the over unders component that I did, which you can find on Action Network, the way I did, which it gives the case for the over and the under on all 30 teams, is because if you give me I can make an argument for all of these teams. I really can. I can make an argument for, like, the only team that I cannot get myself to actually understand how they could be win 30 games is the Knicks and the Kings, and that's it. I can get behind everybody else. I can make an argument, and I can make an argument for why things could fall apart, because I've seen things fall apart. When you've watched the 2013 Lakers,
you know, anything's possible.
You know, anything's possible. So like, I'm left with just the sense of I feel like, well, okay, there's this range of outcomes, but I feel confident in which I have more confidence in, or I feel sure of where the greater number of outcomes lies. And with the Lakers, I really don't. And I think it's fascinating, and it's going to make an interesting season. And, you know, honestly, Lakers fans really did have it rough. I've tried to remember that as good as they've had it throughout their entire lives, as many bandwagon fans as there are in the fan base. Like, last 5 years have sucked. Like, that team.
I can confirm.
Sucked.
I have only covered bad Lakers teams.
Yeah.
I've been doing this 5 years. It's only been bad.
I feel confident saying that's over. Like, no matter what, the Lakers are not going to. I will say that. Anybody that is peddling under 500 is out of their minds.
Yeah.
Like, this team is going to be. Like, there will be nights for this team, and there will be nights, and this team is going to win some games where you did not think they would win. And I think that might be another possible outcome, is they're like, oh man, like, they lost to the Hornets, but then they turn around and it's like, holy crap, like, they beat the Rockets. Mm-hmm. Like, that, I think they're going to have a wide range of outcomes with less consistency, and that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, thanks again, and if you guys are listening to this and you enjoy the stuff that Matt talked about, I'm telling you right now, his over-unders column, when he puts out that final iteration of it, it's going to be really good. I've been reading and keeping up with it, and it's all over at the Action Network. Is there anything else that you wanted to plug before we get out of here?
Check out the Spread the Floor pod. I'm doing a prop bet fantasy draft tomorrow for futures. It'll be really good. And then we're going to have on Action Network NBA. We also got a podcast that's Action Network NBA. We're going to have 5-minute lines where we're going to discuss all the gaming lines for every game on the slate day by day. So make sure to check that out.
That's really good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt, again. And we'll talk maybe, you know, a month or two or a week or two, whenever I can get you on again. And we might know a little bit more about this team, though. I could see us reaching, like, I don't know, February and still not really knowing what I'm looking at. But who knows? We'll see. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This is probably going to be broken up into two parts, so check out part two, probably dropping tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Matt, thanks again for coming on, and thanks for all the support. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, man.